Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Selling Greenville, your favorite real estate podcast here in Greenville, South Carolina. I'm your host, as always, Stan McCune, realtor right here in Greenville, South Carolina. You can find all of my contact information in the show notes. If you need a realtor in this area, by the way, Greenville, for those of you that are out of town, understand that the Greenville market is much more than Greenville. Greenville itself, not that big, right? I get this question a lot. Do I go to areas like Spartanburg, Pickens, Anderson, et cetera, et cetera? The answer is yes. Realtors in this market, we have to be knowledgeable about all of those other areas. So I am educated on those areas as well. I call the show Selling Greenville because Greenville is the most noteworthy. Sorry, Spartanburgers. But Greenville is the most noteworthy city, county in the upstate of South Carolina. But that doesn't mean I don't go elsewhere. In fact, most of my closings this year have been outside of Greenville, mostly Anderson and Spartanburg counties. Got another one in Pickens County coming up. So just be aware of that. All my contact information is in the show notes. If you like this content, please like, rate, review, subscribe, all of those good things. So I've got, some coverage for you guys from the local elections that we had. I've discovered over the years that I am the media, okay? To quote Elon Musk, whether you love him or hate him, good quote, I feel like, because it is true that the modern day conventions of the media and where you get news coverage has changed. I had Tina Belgi on the show, who was running for Greenville City Council. We'll talk about her in a second. And she asked to come on the show. That was a great interview. I told you guys that I've never declined someone that asked to come on the show that was running for a political office in this area. I've never done it. I'm not saying that I wouldn't ever do it. But I like to be able to get you guys the information that you need. And sometimes the media is just not covering this stuff. And that was something that she shared with me off the air, was frustration that the local media just wasn't really focusing on these local elections in the way that they should. Sometimes it's hard to get the information from the media. In fact, even as I was preparing for the show, it was hard for me to get some of the information that I needed as part of my preparation. So long story short, I want to tell you guys a little bit about what happened when we had these local elections. And so these local elections, it was just a hodgepodge of things that happened. We had elections in Greenville, we had elections in TR, in Greer, in Easley. There were tons of elections in Spartanburg. I'm not going to focus on Spartanburg. I'm not as knowledgeable about all that happened out there, but I can speak directly to some of the things that happened in Greenville and some of these other areas. And I just want to tell you guys what my thoughts are on some of these things as it relates to Greenville in general, right? Because that affects the Greenville real estate market. But I want to also discuss specifically the potential effects it could have on real estate. So we're just going to start straight with the top. I just referenced Tina Belgi. She was running for an at-large seat with the Greenville City Council. She was running against Matt Alexander. That was a partisan race. Before I get into that, I just want to say I'm recording this on Veterans Day. Happy Veterans Day. Thank you to all of those listening who serve or are spouses for those that serve and or have served, all of that. I just want to make sure that I get that out there. Okay, so Tina Belgi versus Matt Alexander, partisan seat. Matt Alexander was Republican, Tina Belgi Democrat. She won handily. And it had nothing to do with her being on my show. She ran a really impressive campaign. I follow these local races very closely. I felt like her campaign was as good as any that I have seen on a local level. Alexander also ran a very good campaign. for his part. I think that he's going to have a place in our local politics on some level, and I hope that he perhaps considers county council or something like that. But for the time being, Tina Belge won Greenville City Council, and in terms of like what that means, obviously one of her main platforms was housing affordability, and so we'll have to keep her honest on that, right? You the listeners, you the voters, this is your responsibility to make sure that those who run on a certain platform fulfill it. Now, she has a track record. She wasn't just saying that she was running on affordable housing. That's been a thing that she has actually done in real life and worked with real issues related to that in the past. But I think that we can expect, particularly new developments in the city, that she's going to really push for there to be some kind of an affordable component to new developments, making sure that people at different area median incomes can afford units within those developments. And of course, she's got a lot of vision for transportation in the city and whatnot that could directly affect a lot of things, right? If we had better public transportation, that would really, really affect the city in a positive way. I don't know how realistic that is, but that's obviously one of the deficiencies of Greenville City, is the public transportation infrastructure that we have is not great, right? That's something that people come down here and ask me about, and I have to be honest with them. There is not a great public transportation system anywhere in the upstate, and so we'll see if she's able to make headroads with that. All right. There was also a District 2 election where Lillian Brock Fleming, incumbent, was going up against Mike Kilgore. Councilwoman Fleming has been in Greenville City Council for like 30 years, and she won handily. I mean, it wasn't even close. She won. There weren't a ton of voters for this one. She got 1,569 votes. Kilgore got 960. There were 7 write-ins. That's not a close election. I'm personally, now I don't know, Ms. Fleming personally, but I'm personally disappointed by this because, I have reached out to her in the past and have not gotten response. I've not gotten help from her, when I've needed it. And I feel like sometimes people, and this is just my personal opinion, this is not me speaking for any other groups or anything else that I'm affiliated with, sometimes it's just time for people to relinquish their position of power that they've had. And if you're not responding to constituents, then I feel like that's the point at which you're too busy or too preoccupied with other things or whatever. That's literally the job of people on city council. So I was disappointed by that result, but not surprised. All right, moving right along. Greer had several city council elections as well. So the way they do it, they have all these different districts. District 2, 4, and 6 were running for had elections this year. We had Corian Booker, an incumbent. He won once again. Charles Lander beat incumbent Lee Dumas, I always pronounce his name wrong, Lee Dumas, quite handily. That came as a bit of a surprise. And also Judy Alpert, incumbent, lost by 28 votes to Paul Lamb. That was a somewhat close one there. And so we had two incumbents knocked out in Greer City. And what I think that this is I think that this is a referendum against the growth in Greer City. Like, let's just be honest. This is a referendum against people wanted change. We hear all the time people complaining Greer doesn't need more apartments. Greer doesn't need more development. Greer doesn't need, you know, they did this whole sports complex. A lot of people angry about that. A lot of really mixed opinions on the sports complex. I'm not going to get into all of that. People showed up that weren't happy about those things and voted out two of the incumbents. Corey and Booker survived. He beat Tahisha Pearson, 225 votes to 147. And so I think that what this means for Greer, I think that this is going to mean less development, right? Which, depending on how you look at that, some people listening to this might be excited by that. Some people might not. When we're talking about housing affordability, that's generally not a good thing from a housing affordability standpoint, right? Less development means less supply, means prices go up. And of course, we've been seeing that in Greer for some time already. I think we're going to continue to see that. Simpsonville had a Ward 6 election. By the way, I'm not going to go through every single election. I'm just going to hit ones that are interesting to me. So Simpsonville, Ward 6, Lou Hutchings, incumbent, and Jerry Tuso, both are going to a runoff. Lou Hutchings got 431 votes. Jerry Tuso got 410, and then Jared Fielding got 170. It was that 170 that resulted in nobody having a majority, which then means that goes to a runoff. And I believe the runoff is the 18th, November the 18th. So if you're in Simpsonville, Ward 6, please vote. These runoffs for things like this, I mean, we might not see more than 200 to 300 votes total. Your vote really, really matters. Simpsonville, show up. Check out. Find out if you're in Ward 6 or not. If you don't know for sure, please look it up and make sure that you show up for that. I feel like Lou Hutchings is a good candidate. I feel like Jerry Tuso would probably be fine as well. But in terms of what Hutchings has done, this is not an endorsement. This is just my personal opinion. I feel like that there are some positives there to look into. But do your own research, okay? I'm not going to try to persuade you one way or the other. I don't live in Simpsonville. Those are, you know, all of the different. I don't live there. I have opinions on a lot of things. But if you live there, you have specific issues that you're concerned about. And so vote based on how you feel. But just get out and vote, please. All right, let's see here. What else is interesting? Ah, yes, TR, Travelers Rest. We had two incumbents, Catherine James and Lisa Lane, that both were reelected. Cheryl Garniero and John Campbell were also elected. The way they handle it in TR is just the top four just get into city council, and that's it. If everyone else just doesn't get in, and that's that. What's interesting to me, you know, city of TR is great, right? But TR as a whole is just a fascinating case study for a town. Let's be honest, TR used to be like looked at as like, you know, where the rednecks lived, right? I'm not saying that was my opinion. I'm just saying that's what you would hear other people say. Well, that's completely changed in more recent years. TR is now one of the most expensive places to live in the entire state of South Carolina, right? Regardless of, you know, any sort of demographic that that's just statistical. So people need to set aside, like, I was even at a comedy show recently where they kind of made fun of TR like that, like it was still redneck. It was just like, that's maybe what people's perception is, but that's not a perception that I would, as a real estate professional, first off, I don't get into whether areas are redneck or not, because that's a fair housing violation. It's neither here nor there. But even as a joke, it's not really a funny joke anymore to me, because I know that even if that were true, it's at some point, it's definitely not true anymore. So it's just interesting. It's also interesting to see these people campaign. So we had Greenville City Council, two candidates in terms of when Belgian and Alexander were running, both had huge budgets, right? Tons of donors. They both were running six digit budgets for their campaign. That's very normal for Greenville City Council. We see that a lot. Just wait until the mayor seat becomes available, which allegedly is going to be sooner than later. We'll see. But the budget for whoever becomes mayor, you know, for the people running for mayor for Greenville is going to be insane. Well, the budgets for TR City Council was not insane. I know, because I spoke to several of the candidates, some of them basically had no budgets. Some of them, their entire campaign was just putting signs on Main Street in TR. And if you drove through TR, you would see some of those signs, and like, that was it. Some of them did not do door knocking. It's a very different area than any other area that we have in the upstate. And I love it. I'm here for it. I've always been a fan of TR, and I like that, you know, it's just an area where you can get on city council with these non-conventional campaigns. I think it's kind of amazing. So, in terms of what it means for housing, I mean, listen, I've already said TR is one of the most expensive places to live in the upstate. That's not changing. That is simply not changing. There are discussions about, you know, TR being, you know, imposing more impact fees and whatnot, things that would drive up the cost of housing, particularly for new construction. And I think that there is going to be some pushback from some of the members of this council when it comes to that, I'm hoping, because impact fees are just a really bad, a bad way to raise money, right? To take money essentially from first-time home buyers in order to try to improve infrastructure, but it's never enough to do it, right? So the Department of Transportation recently said that they are going to try to get approved for them to do a $2,500 impact fee across this. I believe it's $2,500 across the state of South Carolina, meaning every single new home that's built would have to pay $2,500 to the DOT. Well, then that gets marked up. Usually ends up being closer to $10,000 once it gets to the consumer, and that's just the DOT's impact fee. All these municipalities are also doing their own impact fees, so they all add up. And once you add it all up, it could be passed along as tens of thousands of dollars to the end user, and to the person that ends up buying the home. And that's just it's just not good. But here's the thing: DOT gets $2,500 per development. It costs roughly $1 million a mile, right? Because that's what they're saying. They're saying, we're going to use this money towards roads. So let's say that 10,000 homes are built, you know, let's say they get this $2,500 impact fee approved, and then, you know, the next year, 10,000 homes are built, right? A lot of homes, okay? Like, a huge community is a community that has like a few hundred homes. That's only $25 million. That's 25 miles of road. That does not do anything for the quote-unquote road situation that we have in South Carolina. You think that that is going to put a dent in the long list of things that they're behind on? No, it's not going to do anything. But it does impact the first-time home buyer, and so that's why, generally speaking, I am against impact fees, because they don't raise very much money in comparison to how much they hurt first-time homebuyers. All right. Moving right along here. Let's talk about Easley for a second. Some interesting things happening at Easley. So Easley really swung hard in more recent years as a result of a few squeaky wheels. They swung really hard towards being really anti-growth, anti-development. And again, you know, understand these more rural areas, they want to keep the area rural, right? They want to, they don't want things to change. There's a lot of nostalgia, and I completely understand that. But I think the ship has kind of sailed on some of that. Like, we can't create gated communities around, like, entire cities, entire counties. It's just not practical. And you're either growing or you're shrinking, right, at the end of the day. And it's really, really bad for everyone if an area starts to shrink and starts to degrow. A lot of small businesses go out of business. Real estate plummets in terms of value, and all sorts of negative things happen. So City of Easley now swung to the other end of the spectrum, right? So they had a city council that was really anti-growth, anti-development, anti a lot of things. And it became a very hostile, I'm not going to get into the details, but an extremely hostile city council. Just a lot of shenanigans, unseriousness going on over there. And some of the key people that were responsible for that were voted out, in my personal opinion. And so we had, let's see here, we had, sorry, I'm pulling this up here, April Searcy, Bob Fetter, and I believe Chris Clark was the other person who won in City Council Ward 2, 4, and 6 that were up for election easily. And for the most part, they won, like, really handily. And so, very interesting development, right? People have chosen, and it's not like these three are, like, super-duper pro-growth or wanting... Uh-oh, my phone is going off. Sorry about that. Rookie mistake. Forgot to turn off my phone. I recently applied for a loan, for a refinance. And if you don't know, if you've not applied for a loan recently, like, the moment your credit is run for a mortgage, you start to get phone calls from mortgage companies over and over and over again. And it's just, it's incessant. And that's because of the credit bureau selling your information. You can thank them, should be illegal, but they do that. Anyway, that's what just happened to me. My phone has been blowing up with all of these different mortgage companies trying to get me to cancel my refinance with the company I'm using and to use them instead, which I'm not going to do. Okay, so where I was going with all of that is that people in the city of Easley, they're like, let's not pretend like these three people that they elected are like, ooh, we're gonna, you know, bring tons of development in here and really drive down the price of housing and make it more affordable. They didn't run on those sorts of platforms. They knew that they couldn't, and they don't want to do that anyway. But they're not going to be as anti-growth as the former council was, and so it's interesting that this is like the first time in a long time that we have had this sort of a shift in a local election where the biggest anti-growth, the NIMBYs, you know, the not in my backyard, don't build in my backyard crowd, got voted out for not a YIMBY, if you know these terms, not a YIMBY candidate, but for candidates that are not quite as NIMBY, not quite as anti-growth, not quite as anti-development. This is the first time that we've seen that group win over the completely anti-development group. And the reason is that, so the anti-development group, they tend to be anti, like, a lot of things. So the development is, like, one thing, but then they tend to, like, be kind of conspiratorial and, like, find all of these other things that, like, tie into it. And ultimately, it becomes more, oftentimes, they become more about what they're against rather than what they're for. And then that comes with hostility, that comes with aggression, in some cases following, you know, other council people home and harassing them, all sorts of stuff. This is very, very common tactics being used nationwide by NIMBYs, but it was specifically being used in Easley. And the electorate just got fed up and they were just like, no, like, we need a serious functioning city council, and good for them. I'm happy for them. I don't know how good these new candidates are going to be. They're pretty green. Don't have a ton of experience doing, city council work. So there might be some growing pains there. But from my personal experience, they are going to actually take the responsibility seriously. They're going to actually try to make Easley City a better place. And I'm happy for that. I'm happy for Easley. I think that that's going to be good for those residents. I think that there's a lot of positives to take away there. All right, we had one other thing that I'm going to mention here, and then I'm going to wrap up. We had a state house runoff in District 21. District 21 is weird. It's kind of like the West Greer district, right? It's kind of like if you look at the Greenville Spartanburg Airport, which straddles Greenville and Spartanburg counties, hence the name. District 21 is just to the west of that, and kind of comes down into down towards Five Forks, and it might include some of, yeah, I think it includes Five Forks as well, but it's kind of like that West Greer-ish area, east side Greenville, some of that down towards Five Forks. And I don't really know anything about Diane Mitchell or Steve Nail. They were the two that ran. They were both Republican, interestingly. I guess, because it was a runoff. Sorry. I was confused for a second there. When you have a runoff, usually runoffs end up not being close. This one was insanely close. Diane Mitchell won by 20 votes. Okay, 1,536 votes to 1,516 for Steve Nail. 20 vote difference. Guys, you get out to vote for these small elections. These small elections are consequential. That's your state house rep, right? If you live in that area. I used to live in that area. That's extremely important. That's a person representing you in Columbia. And 20... basically 11 people, depending on how you look at it, right? If 11 people had flipped, the vote would have been different. 11 people decided that election, or 20 people decided that election, depending on how you want to think about it. If you're doing my sort of math, or you're doing some other sort of math. But I just want to highlight that. I don't really have any opinions. I don't know those candidates. I haven't done my research on them, but it just stood out to me that such an important election could be decided by 20 votes. Get out to vote for these little elections. Don't just wait every 4 years, right? The exciting ones are every 4 years, but these elections are the ones that can really determine what happens in your area, right? And I want to... We need to bring more accountability to our local politicians, and you don't do that if you don't vote. So that's one of the ways that you keep them accountable is by voting. So please make sure that you do that. I think that's all I have today. I think for the most part, I'll just kind of put a bow on it. Got something floating in front of me here. Sorry about that. I think I'm going to put a bow on it this way. I think that you know, we went through a period of time the past few years where people were just freaking out about the growth and everything in Greenville and in some of the surrounding areas. And some of that is intensifying, for instance, in Greer. I think in Greer, again, a lot of it was the sports complex thing. Like, some people got really angry about that. If you want to look that up, you know, just look it up. I'm not going to get into the weeds on that. I think if the sports complex had not been, like, a part of all of that, if that had not been a major thing that was kind of confounding these elections, I think that the outcome would have been different. I think that the vote in Greer was more of a referendum on that sports complex than it was on like growth in general. Okay, because you look at these other elections, and these other elections were not referendums on growth, which is interesting. So we might be kind of swinging. I'm not going to say we're swinging back to a pro-growth upstate of South Carolina. There's still a lot of nobody move here. We're full. Stay out. We don't want any new visitors. We don't want any new residents. We don't want any outsiders. We want to stay the way they are. That's what people keep saying. But I don't think that that's generally a good thing. At least not to that sentiment. Usually where it goes is a very bad place. But that being said, the way people voted, they didn't vote scared this time, right? And in the past, we've seen people vote scared about growth and whatnot. And people seem to be like, okay, the growth situation, maybe they're not crazy about it, but now they're starting to be concerned about some other things. For instance, the Greer Sports Complex. And I think that's good, because there are so many bigger issues facing the upstate than, oh, we've got a growth problem. We've got too many people moving here. I'm not saying that there aren't issues related to that, but we can sometimes create a boogeyman out of something that doesn't exist, or we might focus on one boogeyman and ignore a lot of other important issues. And I feel like that's been the case with a lot of these arguments when it comes to, you know, the anti-growth crowd in recent years. So glad to see that some of that has quieted. Hopefully that will continue. And hopefully this update has been helpful for you guys to kind of understand some of the local happenings. I know it's not the most exciting thing in the world. But again, you might not be able to get this news elsewhere. You might not even know where to get it if you could get it elsewhere. And so here I am. I'm here for you guys. We didn't have the market stats published yet, right? GJR office is closed. Usually we have them around this time. GJR office closed for Veterans Day. So I'll probably get it tomorrow, right? But tomorrow the podcast publishes. So we'll have to talk about that next week. But this is perfect, right? Talk about the elections, and hopefully it benefited some of you guys. So thank you guys for listening. Really appreciate you guys. Please like, rate, review, subscribe, comment on YouTube, whatever, however you want to do it. If you need a realtor in the area, Greenville, Spartanburg, Anderson, etc., let me know. I'm your guy. My contact info is in the show notes. We will talk to you guys next time.